Sweet. Thank you, Susan. We're still, there's a sign up in the back for the archery. We need people to do the apple on their head. So if you could sign up for that. Oh, I need my clicker. Came up without my clicker. So good morning. I got the salt and light slide up here to remind us, because some people were kind of confused by the bulletin and it says salt and light. Are we still doing the salt and light series, Jeff? Are we in a series about Fathered by God? Salt and light is almost like a reckoning point. Are you guys familiar with like having dead reckoning and maybe in aviation? John, you're not listening. I'm talking about aviation. you missed it. I'm moving on. So my father-in-law told a story once about learning how to plow a field. He grew up on a farm, and his dad had him for the first time plow a really long field. Okay, so he went out there and he's like, the first row is the most important row because you're going to use that as your guide for the rest of them. And he's looking back, trying to get that thing straight, and he keeps looking, and he's going forward, and he keeps looking back. Oh man, there was a swerve. I got to recorrect that. And he gets to the end of the field, and he's just got this. So he goes to his dad, and he's like, Dad, help me out here. Like, how do you do that straight line all the way across this field? And he said, you've got to pick a reckoning point. You've got to pick a post on the other end of the field, a tree, something, and you do not look back at where you've been. You set your tractor on that point, and you move forward. So, and then he did that, and then he had that first straight line, and he was able to plow the field. Well, what God did with us as a church early this year was he gave us a reckoning point with salt and light. Bringing out that verse where Jesus is talking to his disciples, his followers, and saying, you're the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Okay, that's a reckoning point for us as a community to say, where are we at right now? And where has God said that we can be and that he made us to be? And really, that's Jesus and his example of life, of living in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what the church is supposed to be. And it's not a striving, but now it's a pressing in to see how God brings us up into being salt and light. So we're going to stay under that reckoning point this year. And there's going to be things that we focus on as we do that. So this week, you guys, I appreciate your prayers for the elders. This week, we're going to get away for a couple of days and have a retreat just seeking the Lord with questions like, God, what is the purpose of the church? Reveal in your word, just digging into his word, listening to him. Lord, at Adventure, where do you want to continue to mature us and grow us up more to be salt and light? Seeking him for those things and then going after them together as a community. So be praying for us as we're listening to the Lord with those questions. So in the Salt and Light series, in that reckoning point, we've been talking recently about God's Father heart for us and how critical that is to have a true journey as a community into becoming who we were made to be, to understand who we are. That's why we started with that sowing a son, realizing not only is God a father, but we are children of God and what that means for our identity. But then how do we walk with God as father? Not just, I love that line kind of jarred me for a second. That song that Russ chose this morning where it says, I'm laying down my religion or, you know, putting down my religion or something like that. It's like, wait a minute, no, I'm not. But in the meaning of, this is a relationship with God. Not man-made traditions, not self-imposed misconceptions about the heart of God and the character of God towards me. I want to know you. I want to be close to you. I love, that's a great song. First time I've heard that. When I was a kid, probably in the age range of like 8 to 13 in those years, my grandfather had a tree farm. And Dad, was it like the first tree farm in Snohomish County, or what was the stat on that? What was his claim to fame?
It was not the first tree farm.
Okay. I need to stop saying that. Yeah, so this was when Christmas tree farms were just getting started. They were just a thing. Now they're like, you go to them and it's like a circus there, right? Well, he was on the cutting edge of that because he would grow a big white beard and dress up like Santa Claus and walk around the Christmas tree farm. And me and my brothers would dress up like elves and hand out candy canes. And it was like a fun event for people. And they'd come all around to go to this Christmas tree farm. Well, that's not the story I'm talking about. The story I'm talking about is the rest of the year. And in the summer, being able to go up to my grandpa's Christmas tree farm. And way in the back acres up there was a pond that he stocked with trout. And I'd show up, we'd show up for a family visit, and immediately, you know, I'd grab the dog, their dog Judy. They had a big dog, and I always wanted a big dog when I was a kid, and head up to the pond with my fishing pole. And I'd go up there and catch these huge trout that he'd been, you know, feeding and growing. And I'd come back, and the my favorite part about that was coming back and telling my grandpa that I'd caught these big fish. And he'd just get this big grin on his face, and he'd give me these affirming words about me as a fisherman. And isn't that amazing? You just go up there and catch. I didn't even think there was any fish in that pond anymore. And I thought I was the best fisherman in the county, maybe even the state. And I loved that, and I looked forward to that every time I'd go up to Grandpa's when I was a kid. So why is it that affirming words are just so important to us? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? What do you think? Good? Raise your hand. Bad? Raise your hand. Maybe? No? Kind of? Nixon both. Affirming words could be good or bad. How could they be bad? Since you guys kind of raise your...
Mm-hmm. We need it to hear from other people. And so it's good to hear from other people, but mm-hmm. we need affirmation even if we know who we are. But if we're searching for an identity from someone or not from the Lord, it's going to fall.
So maybe that affirming words aren't truth. Maybe we're searching so much because we don't know who we are in some places that we can turn to even dark things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Good. Yeah, I think there's some caution in how we approach affirmation. But I think one thing we can't deny is that we have this desire and even need to know who we are. And I think one of the loudest things God spoke to us was our value through what he did through Jesus Christ. And I think one of the most difficult things for human beings to embrace is that we have this value in God's sight. It's no, we're just the dust of the earth and we're nothing. God is everything. And so we scrape by in this relationship with him instead of realizing, what does God see? It's nothing of our own doing. He even made us. So the good that he sees in us, he's put there. He's created that way. This is where it becomes really important to give God the title of Father that he gives himself over and over again in Scripture. Because that helps us to understand, maybe some of us who are dads, to go, okay, as a father with a father's heart towards my kids, and when I affirm them, do I want them to receive that? Do I want them to embrace that? Or do I want them to reject and go, no, Dad, no, 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 no. No, I'm not really who you say I am. That's not true. No. I want them to see what I see in them and to live out of it in their life. There was a Reader's Digest article published a long time back, and it was about a math teacher who did an exercise with her students, and she had them all take out a piece. Actually, I don't know if it was a man or a woman, the teacher. It just said a math teacher. But this teacher had them all take out a piece of paper and write every name in the class and leave some space. And their assignment was to write something that they see in that person or appreciate about that person, some kind of encouragement or affirmation. So they all did that, turned their papers in, and then she made up a sheet for each of them and gave it to them, and it had all their classmates' words of affirmation on it. A few years passed, and one of those students was killed in Vietnam. And there was a memorial service for him, and a lot of those classmates came. The teacher was there, and the father of this man who was killed went over to the teacher and said, "I want to show you what was found on my son when he was killed in Vietnam." And he pulls out this piece of paper that had been taped and ripped and folded 100 times, and it was that sheet. And as that story broke out at the memorial service, one by one, the students started coming forward and like, "I carry mine with me too," or "I still have mine." One of them put it in their wedding album, these words of affirmation. Our hearts are starving for affirmation. And the Father is desiring to give that affirmation to us, that we would come to him. What do we imagine we would receive if we were to go to the Father, God the Father, for an answer to that question? "Lord, how do you see me? Father, how do you see me?" Is there maybe some nervousness there? Like, what am I going to get? Like, I know what I've been up to this week, or I can name 10 things wrong about me. Do I really want to hear what the Father thinks of me? The perfect, holy, loving Father. Righteous. And there's some apprehension sometimes, for some of us. There's some apprehension in even approaching to this series on fathering, talking about where we are now through the work of Jesus Christ, through what God has done for us, our identity. And the reason that's so important to embrace that, to really believe that, is because you're going to have a hard time even wanting to approach the Father for words of affirmation if you don't believe this is true, which the prophet spoke of Jesus and the work that he would accomplish and has now done through his crucifixion and resurrection. It says, "I will give you a new heart," speaking of Jesus, "and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." All these things, all these works that God is doing here. I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone. I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. So that's our position and our place. Now, if you were firm in that and that was on the forefront of your mind, and I said, "Now I want you to ask the Father how he sees you through the work of Jesus Christ," you might be able to approach that a little more openly, or maybe without quite so much fear, if you think about what Christ has done for us. We're going to look at just briefly a few stories in Scripture of God affirming. One of them is Gideon. Gideon is an incredible story in the Old Testament, in the book of Judges, during that time period where Israel was falling out of alignment with God, forsaking him. And then God would raise up a judge, would raise up a man or a woman to stand for righteousness and holiness, and lead the people back to God, and God would come through in victory for them from all the oppression they were experiencing because of their sin. And so he came to Gideon. Gideon was one of these men that God used, but he came to Gideon in a way that spoke some identity and called Gideon up. It's a really cool story. We're just going to read a little part of it, but I love the way God does things. He shows up under a tree as an angel of the Lord. And we'll see in the context here that this is the Lord when it says the angel of the Lord. And he shows up under this tree and he's like, hey, Gideon, what's up? Let's read it. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth, which is a type of tree, at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash and, to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. And Gideon said to him, please, sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian. So the Midianites had been oppressing Israel for 7 years. They're living in caves and hiding out in shelters. And the Midianites and the Amalekites would come down into their valleys and camp on their crops and destroy them. And so they're starving. And the angel of the Lord shows up, which we see identified in the next verse as the Lord. So Gideon's questioning it. Here, the angel of the Lord says, oh, mighty man of valor, why don't you rise up and let's do something about this? He's like, well, where have you been if you're really with us? And Gideon's got all these questions. He's got a lot of doubt he's struggling with, even in himself. So we see here, and the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours. So it's the Lord's going to be with him and give him the victory and do the work. But he still knows our hearts, and he calls Gideon up, calls him a man of valor. And he says, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the land of Midian. Do not I send you? And he said to him, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, but I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man. So there's this wrestling, which some of you might be able to identify with when the Lord calls you to something. Wait, not me. And we see that through the history of the Bible with Moses, God calling these men and women up to these great things that he's going to give them the power to accomplish, and he sees something in them, and they doubt it. And they have to walk with him, and he has to show them, no, you're going to do this. And the story of Gideon, if you continue to read in Judges 6 and beyond, this incredible story of Gideon learning. I mean, past this, you know the story. He tests God. I'm going to put this fleece out, and if there's dew on it in the morning, and then the next morning, if there isn't dew on it, and he's testing the Lord to be for sure that the angel of the Lord meant that he was a mighty man of valor, and that he would defeat the Midianites. And the Lord is calling him up. Another way that we often see the Lord giving this affirmation in Scripture is bestowing a new name. Oftentimes, Abraham, for example, Sarah. Remember Sarai, which wasn't a bad name. It meant princess. But she was given with the promise that God gave of these nations coming from her offspring, Sarah, which is princess of multitudes. And so with this new identity comes a promise, comes hope, because he's calling her up and even bestows that through her name. And so every time someone says her name, she's reminded. Zach, calm down back there. She's reminded of what God is going to do and what he's going to do in her and through her. It's pretty cool. Jacob was given the name as he came out grasping a heel. So he was identified by coming out grasping the heel of his twin. Okay? So he's born grasping the heel, and so that was the name given to him, and that was an identity for him. But Jacob later was given the name Israel because of what God was going to do through him, which means prince with God. God actually identifies, he said, your name will now be Israel. This is after Jacob had wrestled with him in the night. He said, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. And so for Jacob's story, Israel's story moving forward, that name would be significant to him. That name that the Lord bestowed on him and that identity. In the New Testament, we see that play out with some characters there. Simon is one of them. And I've always learned Simon meant reed, and he was given the name Peter, which means rock. But in my research, there's not a lot of support for the fact that Simon meant reed. And if you want to argue about that afterwards, that'd be fun. We could do that. But the most support that I saw was that Simon meant he who hears, or has heard, God has heard, or some meanings of that name, Simon. That's not bad. That's a good name. But when Jesus meets Peter, Andrew, Peter's brother, brought Peter to Jesus and said, hey, we've found the Messiah. You got to come meet Jesus. This is the conversation there. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, so you are Simon, the son of John? You shall be called Cephas. Some say Cephas, but I think it's Cephas, which means Peter. So Cephas was this Aramaic word, and translated into Greek is Petros, which is where we get Peter. But immediately when people heard that name, it meant stone, rock. And you know some of Peter's story and just what he would go through in the shaping of his character, that God looked at him. And I think it was the Father's heart speaking through Jesus that said, you are Cephas, you are the rock. And then he became that rock through his relationship with God. And there were some ups and downs. It was a rocky road. That's a bad joke, sorry. Dad joke. But when he failed, and you know, he denied Christ, and then he was reinstated. And then the years to come, after Christ had ascended into heaven and sent the Holy Spirit, he went through imprisonment, fear of death, ultimately was crucified for his faith. And I can bet you he remembered that first conversation when he met Jesus and his name was spoken to him. That identity was spoken to him. I can endure this. I can endure this because I know who I am and who God's made me to be, and literally made him to be through the years and the circumstances and the building of his faith. He truly had become the rock that Jesus prophesied he would be by calling him Cephas. It's pretty cool. Lots of other name changes that we see or bestowed additional identity that God gives. Another cool story regarding one of the disciples that Jesus called that was just an encouragement. And it reminds us that God actually does see us. And for some of us, that's the one thing that keeps us from wanting to get closer to God, is knowing that he sees us and he sees everything about us. But that's actually the very thing that should draw us closer to him, is that he truly sees us. And he sees past through Jesus Christ. He sees past all of that sin. And he's getting to the sons and daughters that he thought it was worth dying for, to call you up, that he made for incredible purposes. So when he meets Nathan, this is what happens. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. And you think he was being sarcastic? I think he was being encouraging. Look at Nathanael's response. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. So he saw Nathanael under the tree. That's pretty cool. And that's the thing that really impressed Nathanael. What? You saw me when you weren't even there? How do you do that? That's amazing. But even more amazing is he sees into our hearts and he knows what's there and he knows what he's going to bring out in us and what the work that he's going to do in us. And so he speaks it into being. And that's what he's about. That's what God's about doing. Absolutely, he comes and he disciplines and he corrects us. And we're going to have some weeks on that. We're going to have some Sundays where we talk about what does approaching the Father in discipline look like in some other areas. What does his correction look like? But we have to understand that he is an affirming Father that's calling us to approach him. And he does this all the time. Oftentimes he'll do it through us to another person. So that would be a word of encouragement that he might give us. I've told this story before, but real briefly, I remember one time there was a guy on the treadmill at the gym, and God told me to go affirm him. Not that he's a good runner, but I vaguely knew this guy because he had helped, he'd kind of been a parent helper on one of my kids' baseball teams years before. I didn't even know his name. He didn't know my name. I recognized him, though, and immediately when I saw him, when I walked by, I felt like the Lord said, he needs to be affirmed in the giftings that I've put in him, because I remember watching how good he wasn't even one of the official coaches, how good he was at encouraging the kids, teaching them, helping them work through their apprehensions in the sport. And God said, I want you to tell him that I'm affirming him. So I'm like, I don't even know if he believes in God. And so I walked by and I'm like, I'm going to just kind of think about that for a little bit. And I walked by and you get that conviction of this is going to eat my lunch all day if I don't obey in this. Like, I need to do this. So I prayed a little bit more, like, okay, what exactly am I supposed to say? So he's on the treadmill and I walk up to him. I'm like, hey, how's it going? He's like, who's this weird guy talking to me on the treadmill? And he stopped and I gave him that word of encouragement. I said, I was just praying and felt like God wanted to affirm you. And he looked like, one, he just saw a ghost. Two, like he was just about ready to cry and sob. And then he went on to tell me about how he's been really wrestling with wanting to get back involved because apparently he hadn't been doing a lot of involvement in sports with his kid and how he's really felt drawn to get back into that. And he really appreciated that. I don't know what God's going to do with that. But whenever I take the time, I've got other crazy stories. Whenever I just take a moment to ask God, what do you want to say to somebody else? That's what he does. He affirms. So that's what we're talking about this morning. And I hope that you're thinking about, well, where am I at with that? Do I believe that the Father has an affirming voice and that he wants to speak that into me? Is that what I believe about him? Do I believe he's an angry old man with a finger pointed at me? What's that picture of God that I walk with? Is he a religious God that there's so much ceremony and ritual and tradition to try and wade through to even get close to his throne that I really don't spend any time asking him? Do I believe it's going to go to my head if I focus on who I am? It's all about who God is. And I wonder what his Father heart feels about that. Is there a way to let his affirmation actually bring praise and glory to him when we really understand who we are because of him? There's lots of different places we can find ourselves in. This is highly opposed by the enemy. Part of why we started with spiritual warfare a few months back. Because if the enemy can keep you from approaching the Father and being able to hear words of affirmation that might challenge you and say, no, Lord, you don't understand. I am not what you said. I am not the man of valor that you said I am. Or there is deceit in me, like Nathanael, when he said there's no deceit in you. You go, no, I know who you are. and you're not living up to it. And I'm calling you to live up to it. There's a lot of power in that. And the enemy wants to keep that from coming together. So I'll do something a little bit different here. A couple of things different this morning. First off, I just really felt like this, again, this is an obedience thing. So I just asked for your, I don't know, grace in me following the Lord and being obedient. I felt like he was called me to share some words of affirmation with three of you here this morning. Probably three people who weren't expecting it. But he's got words for each of you. I'm confident of that. Through just spending time with God this week, knowing who he is through my life, he has words of affirmation for each one of you. And a little bit later, the other thing we're going to do that's a little different is we're going to spend some time asking him individually what he thinks of us. But first, I just want to say to Linda, the word that I heard for you when I prayed and just asked the Father what he'd say to you is the word was faithful. And I felt like he said, in your circumstances, in what you're facing right now, I've made you to be faithful. And I think the encouragement to you is he said, you will be faithful because it's how I've made you. Dennis, the word I heard that I felt like the Lord wanted you to hear this morning is storehouse. God has put much in you, and there will come a season where he will bring others to you to receive. And then I felt like the encouragement from him was refuse to doubt it. And then Dan, the word I heard for you is unforsaken, not abandoned, not forgotten, and pursued. I feel like the Father has given you this same heart for others, a heart to not forsake, and he's developing it in you. That's the work that he's doing in you. Those are words that I feel like I heard for you guys, and you can take that to the Lord and ask for confirmation in that. Ask if there's something he wants to clarify for you. But that's what the Father does. And anytime I just take a little bit of time to listen, just like that, he wants to give that to each of us. He doesn't want to just do that through the pastor. He wants to encourage one another and affirm each of us. But I can tell you, it's hard to give affirming words if you don't believe them for yourself. It's easier to hear for other people, absolutely. But it's hard to build people, build each other up, as we're called to do, to encourage one another and build each other up. When you're down in the dumps, when you don't believe the goodness that God's put in you, you might feel challenged even by other people and their giftings. It's generally we don't jump to affirming them. We might feel a little reserved in doing that. So that's why I want to kind of press into that this morning. And we're going to take this question to the Lord. And I think it's going to do a lot of things. I think we'll be people in a lot of different places as we listen. Spend 5 minutes. It might be the most time you've spent with God all week is these 5 minutes. Maybe not. Probably wrong for most of you. But just asking this question. So some of the dangers of this are, one, you could not hear anything in these 5 minutes and conclude that God has no affirming words for you and he doesn't speak to you and you can never hear his voice because you spent 5 minutes this week asking him. Don't conclude that. He may be actually wooing you to spend more time. Ooh, I've got your attention. You'd like to hear from me. Come away with me. Make this a regular thing. Just resting in the Father. He'll tell you about who you are. He'll affirm you. He'll bring all that stuff in, and even the loving correction that you need. He'll help you to see him and his glory in a greater way. All that stuff will happen through connection and listening to him. This particular question can be scary, even for someone who's walked with God for years. I was telling Star I was going to do this, and she said, oh man, I remember the first time I was challenged to take this question to the Lord. And so she's just going to share her experience of what that was like.
Yeah, it was in 2005, and I'd grown up in the church and knew that God loved me and I love God, but I had never asked him this question, Father, how do you see me? And quite frankly, I was terrified when I actually took it home to do the homework. I think it was probably Randy who had sent us home with that homework. And I went home and I was sitting in my room and I'm like, I don't know if I can ask this because I don't know what you're going to say to me. Because in my mind, I just go through all the things of how can I be better? Where am I falling short? How do I be better? And so I was just like, okay, I have got to get past it. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to ask you. And so I risked asking. And I want to encourage you guys, wherever you're at, risk asking. Risk asking because he really is that good and affirming Father. And so I did. I finally just like, okay, Lord, I'm going to listen. How do you see me? And I waited and I listened. And what he said, I was like, what in the world? How could you possibly see me that way? But one of the ways I knew, I mean, everybody probably has different ways that they know it's God, and many of us are still learning how do I know it was him? But for me, one of the things was that it may be what I really wanted to hear, but it wasn't what I would have said to myself. And it touched that part of my heart where I immediately, my eyes were filled with tears because it struck that part in my heart that only he could touch. And he just said to me, he said, I love what I see, and I am tickled with delight. And I'm like, can God use that word, tickled? I mean, like, that's kind of a fun word. Like, I don't know, does he use that word? He did. And so, I mean, and I wrote that down, and I have that up, and I look at it often. And so just wanted to bring that encouragement to you, regardless of where you're at. It's worth taking that risk. So.
Yeah, thank you. So there's papers under your seats with this question on it. Encouragement is, as we listen, we'll put some kind of background music on. Just write down what you feel like you're hearing. You're not writing scripture. You're not writing the Bible. Everything should be tested by the word of God. Is it true? You can do that later. Don't edit. This isn't edit mode, okay? Write what you feel like the Lord is speaking. You can go back to it. You can revisit it. You can spend more time in prayer. Is this from the Lord? You can ask somebody for confirmation in that. Would you pray with me about this? I feel like the Lord spoke this word over me. Is there condemnation in it? Well, maybe that's not the Lord's voice. Is there a challenge and a calling up in it? Just write down what you're hearing. I'll open us in prayer. So, Lord, we know that you are a loving Father by your actions towards us through Jesus Christ. We know that you are a good Father through the display of your pursuit, your forgiveness, removing our sins as far as the east is from the west, and calling us up to join you in mission, empowering us to do even greater things than Jesus by your power, including us in a mission because you chose to, making us in your image, all these things. Lord, I just pray that you would speak to us now as we approach you and say to each individual in this room what they need to hear from you. Just come and speak. We silence the enemy in his voice right now in Jesus' name. And Holy Spirit, we give you permission to speak in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so probably the beginning of a conversation for some of us to stay in that question. Hopefully some of you felt like God was starting to speak something to them. Could be a picture that comes to mind, a memory, a word, something that God wants to get at in you as a father and affirm you in. And so I'd encourage you to stay in that. If you feel like you didn't hear anything, or maybe even if you heard something, to bring that back to him this week. Some of you maybe in that 5 minutes realized that you really don't believe he has an affirming voice for you, or that you can hear him. And I want to encourage you that there are some places in you that God wants to touch and heal so that you can receive from him. And there's people who would love to walk with you in that healing journey. That's how God uses the body of Christ to encourage and build each other up. And so I'd encourage you to reach out if that's where you feel like you're at. Like, I've visited this many times, the affirmation of God, hearing his voice, and I just feel stuck. There's breakthrough available for you. So reach out to me, fill out a connection card, just come talk to me after service, whatever you're comfortable with, and we can help you take some steps towards freedom in that. Worship team, if you guys want to come up, we're going to end with a song here, closing song. And that's my encouragement to you as we continue to investigate these different aspects of God and his character and as a father, what it really looks like to have relationship with God as father. Right now, it's pressing into believing what his heart is for you and pressing into hearing his voice speak affirmation to you.
Let's all stand as we sing this last song together. Respond to God this morning.
You are my joy. You are my song. You are the well. The one I'm drawing from. You are my refuge, my whole life long. Where else would I go? Surely my God is the strength of my soul. Your love defends me. Your love defends me. And when I feel I'm all alone, your love defends me, your love defends me, yeah. Day after day, I'm all alone.
Jesus.